Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to learn thy word on the Lord's Day. So, Father, we ask that by thy Spirit you will lead us into all truth, and that thy word will truly be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Grant us a good discerning spirit, a heart that yearns to receive spiritual wisdom. And may thy word bring joy unto thy people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Revelation 22 is the text for today. The last chapter. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. And we shall read this whole chapter responsively. I shall begin with verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light for the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Together, verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The book of Revelation was written to encourage the persecuted saints of the early church. Nero had ransacked the church. Many of the Christians were running from place to place. They were hiding in caves. They were living in fear. And so many of them were very discouraged. What the Lord is doing in the book of Revelation is to give them a glimpse of what will happen in the future so that their hearts may be encouraged, that they may know that all things are within the control of God. God has everything mapped out. Nothing that happens in this world will ever cause God's plan to be derailed. And God's plan for Christians is a very good plan. Revelation chapter 21 to 22 show us the place where we will be saved, and that place will be the new heaven and new earth, and most importantly, the capital city will be called the New Jerusalem. Last lesson, we saw how beautiful this New Jerusalem was, how majestic it is. And looking at how wonderful this New Jerusalem is, and how beautiful this place is, and it is made beautiful not just because of the streets that are laid of gold. Gold so pure that it is transparent. Not just because of the gates, which is made of one big gigantic pearl. Not because of how tall, how wide, how long this New Jerusalem is. But more importantly, this New Jerusalem is beautiful, majestic, because of the presence of the Lamb of God, which giveth light and glory to this particular city. And we will be dwelling over there. And so when you read about this beautiful city called the New Jerusalem, what is exactly in your heart? Do you yearn to be in that particular city? That will be the question. Now, if your heart, after reading how majestic, how wonderful this New Jerusalem is, and this is the place which the Lord says, I have prepared for you, and you look at the world today and you still yearn to be in this world, and you say that, oh yes, this is very nice, thank you very much, but I don't want to be there, then something is really very, very wrong. Right? Because this place is meant to be our final destination, is meant to be the place whereby we will finally rest in our Lord. This is the place which the Lord Jesus Christ says all of us will be there, including all these persecuted saints of the first century AD. Now, you see this world? Yes, this world is a terrible place to live in. People are going for you. People want you dead because of your faith. But fear not. Very shortly, this will be the place where you are in. And these sayings are faithful and true, as what will be written later. Faithful and true. This is not just theory. It's not just sell you a particular condo, promise you a lot of things, and in the end, well, finally, the person who constructing the condo, right, the company went bankrupt, and then in the end, it never come to pass. No, if the Lord says this will be the place, this will how it will be like, it will be like this. And you will be there. How then would you respond to this truth? That would be the key. And these things will come soon, will happen soon, because Jesus Christ is coming quickly. I believe we have a message preached just last year, right, with regards to this. Behold, I come quickly. This really is the theme of Revelation chapter 22, right? Verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Verse 12, and then behold, I come quickly again, right, in verse 20. Surely I come quickly in verse 20. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming imminently. All these things will come to pass very shortly. How then will you react to this statement? Because this statement was said to believers, meant to encourage them. Yes, all these things are happening in your life, but behold, I come quickly. Very soon, all these things will be over. Now, for us who are living in this time and age, when these words are mentioned to you, behold, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming quickly. What exactly is in your heart? What exactly is in your mind? That will be the key. Because if you say, Lord Jesus Christ, yes, thank you, you say you are coming quickly, but please don't come so quickly. Or Lord Jesus Christ, please don't come. Then something is really, really, very wrong. Because these words are said meant to encourage Christians. And if it's therefore not encouraging you, then why is that so? That would be the question. Firstly, it could be that you are not even born again. That would be very scary. Because you're not even born again, then we can understand why you do not want the Lord Jesus Christ to come. Because you know that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, you will be judged. And that judgment will not be a good judgment because you will not be found in the New Jerusalem. You will be found in the lake of fire. Number two, if let's say you hear, "Behold, I come quickly," and you do not desire the Lord Jesus Christ to come quickly, it could mean that your life is a life of sin. You are backsliding, you are not walking right with the Lord, and you still want to hold on to all these sins which beset you. You are rebelling against Him. You know, that is no good. And when you read this particular passage in Revelation chapter 22, we hope that after reading this, you will repent. Right? Because truly, why wouldn't you want the Lord Jesus Christ to come? And why wouldn't you want to be in the New Jerusalem? It's so beautiful, isn't it? You look at verse 1, right? Continuing the description of the New Jerusalem. "And He showed me a pure river of water of life." Right? So here we have water. And the fact that it's called water of life, you know that it symbolizes life. And not just any life, but eternal life. Right, eternal life of whom the source is in, right? God Himself, God and the Lamb, providing this life. And therefore, you have this very beautiful scene whereby you have this pure river of water of life. How do you know it's pure? Because when you look at the water, it is as clear as crystal, not like polluted water, right? Not like what happened recently whereby you have a company which keep dumping all these kind of chemicals into the Singapore water. Remember you read of, I hope you all read of that incident. This company has been caught many, many times. I forgot how many times already. And they are fined quite heavily for it. And then when you look at the water, right, dumped by all these industrial companies, it's so murky. Like, it's not clear. And when you drink of that kind of water, that is definitely not called water of life. That is called water of death. Surely you die. This is called water of life. Right? Just like on the earth, when you drink of pure water, it allows you to continue to live. Right? You say, wow, this is life-giving water. So, here it's used as a symbol of the life-giving water that God and His only begotten Son would give to us when we come to Him in faith. This water that of which we drink, we shall never thirst. And that is why at the end of this book of Revelation, you read verse 17, right? "The Spirit and the Bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come." Right? "Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Right? This is purposely given to us so that we know that if we want to live forever, then we must come to Christ and drink of this water that will cause us never to thirst. A water that will give us everlasting life. Have you drank of that water? Now, if you drank of that water, then you will be in this place whereby you have this water that will come forth, flow forth from the throne of God and from the Lamb. It will be so beautiful, and then it will flow into the city, and in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was the tree of life. Now, remember when man fell from his estate, one of the things that happened was that he was driven out of the Garden of Eden, and he was forbidden to eat of the fruit of the tree of life. Okay, because no more eternal life for him. But now, down here in this place, in this New Jerusalem, you know that all the occupants there, they have already been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. They all have eternal life. And so therefore, now, this tree of life, they are free to partake of it. And so it is there. Okay, and it bears 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month. Wow, the fruit every month also have, huh? Very good, no? And have you ever seen a tree yield 12 manner of fruits? I don't know. Maybe somebody on this earth will want to try. I don't know whether they can succeed. I know they can succeed in making bougainvillea have many colors. You know, bougainvillea have many colors. You seen that already, not Rachel? No, it's FABC, but I know the one died already. Not say died. You know how they have bougainvillea with many colors? They graph it. So they take one with that has pink petals, one with white petals, one with orange petals. Then before Chinese New Year, they will graph it together and then they will sell you. Now, when you buy that thing, please be aware, it will probably last you only one season, one Chinese New Year. You know why? Because all these things are grafted. After that, everything drop, but it will leave only one color, the original color. So if it happened to be white, it will only be white. Happen to be pink, it will only be pink. Happen to be orange, it will only be orange. So it will only be pink, white, and orange for one Chinese New Year. How we know it? Because we tried in FEBC. It became like that. They try. Okay, but so far have not succeeded in making one bougainvillea that can yield all kinds of colors. Now, you think about fruit. Have you ever seen somebody succeed to make a tree that can yield all kinds of fruits? Not just one kind, many kinds. Don't even talk about 12. Let's say try 2. So far, I've not heard of it. If you have heard of it, please tell me. But here, this one, 12. Okay, 12 manner of fruits. Okay? And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. 12 manner of fruits for yielding of fruit. Every month, you also have fruit. Trying to say that if you come to God, you will never go hungry. Right? 12 manner of fruits for every month. So all the months you will have fruit. Never hungry. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Not that the nations needed healing while they were up there, but they are already healed. Right? So all these things will be there, right? Symbolic of the healing they already have in Christ Jesus. Then come to verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants, his slaves, they shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Remember that all the saints, they shall be given a name that only they themselves know. Now besides that name, it seems in addition there will be Christ's name that is written in their foreheads. And why? Because while they are on the earth, they have been true bearers of the name of Christ. Whatever Christ represents, whatever message Christ wanted them to bear, they bore it faithfully. They were true witnesses of him. In other words, with regards to the commandment that thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, they truly fulfilled that commandment. They truly held the name of Christ up high. And so while they were in the New Jerusalem, well, they will be given to bear the name of Christ forever. Thou faithful servant, now forever and ever, you shall sing praises unto your name. You shall be my witnesses forever. Once again, in verse 5, we are told, no light. Why no light? Because the Lamb of God is there. If there is a need for candle, if there is a need for sun, that would mean that there would be darkness. But no more darkness, there's only light, and the Lamb of God is that light. If the light ever diminishes, it would mean what? That the Lamb of God is not a perfect source of light, isn't it? He's not an eternal source of light either. But he is. He is the one that guides us in our life, gives us the light of salvation, and continue to guide us. Since he is there, no need for candle, no need for sun. And here the Bible says we will continue to reign for him forever and ever. Right? Forever and ever we will reign with him. Right? Reign among the nations, reign together with Christ. Right? We know there are nations, right? Because of verse 2, right? Nations, right? Reign among the nations, reign together with Christ. All will be saints in the new heavens and new earth. And here the Bible assures us, these sayings, they are faithful and true. How wonderful, isn't it? We live in this world that right now is very paranoid about fake news, right? Everywhere is paranoid, not just Singapore. If you think that is only happening in Singapore, no, because every country seems to be paranoid by fake news because of social media. Social media has allowed fake news to be spread far and wide. Now, please do not think, though, that fake news is a new phenomenon. If you think that fake news is a new phenomenon, you are very, very wrong. Because fake news has all along been there from the very beginning. Ever since you have Satan, right, in the Garden of Eden. What did Satan do? In order to deceive Eve, he spread fake news, right? Isn't that fake news? So fake news is nothing new. Please understand that. And then when the Gibeonites wanted to trick the children of Israel into making a peace covenant with them, what did the Gibeonites do? Did the Gibeonites also spread fake news? We come from afar, and then they put out an appearance. Right? All these things are fake news. So please understand, it's nothing that is new. It's because of a platform called social media, in which it allows all these fake news to be spread far and wide. And one thing you can be very sure right now is this, okay? Is that in order to, like, whoever wants to identify fake news, you realize that it's not exactly so straightforward. Some very straightforward, right? Especially when it involves facts and figures. You say that 500 people were dead in the shooting. Somebody says that there were 2 people that were dead in the shooting. Ah, that is fake news. Right? Very easy. This is facts and figures. Or they say, oh, Changi Airport is now has a bomb. How many people dead? And then later on, you realize that, hey, that never happened. Now, that is very clear. That is fake news because it involves facts and figures. But you will realize that in a lot of cases, it is not so simple. People can debate until the cows come home. You still don't know who is telling the truth, who is telling a lie. And sometimes, worse still, because you must remember that all are men. It could be that both are telling fake news. How? Is it possible? Of course it's possible. And then, or you can have 2 parties or 3 parties. Each one says something that is true. Each one says something that is false. All these things can happen. Just now at the table with the men, right? We were talking about how to make a restaurant get very high rating even though the food is so lousy and expensive. Very easy. All you need to do is just get some people to... Right? You just go to this company, hey, I need my reviews to go up. Can you please hire people to write good reviews for this company? And so they will write, and they call these people what? Influencers. Right? And so you will get that, but you pray that the company you get is a responsible one, they get lousy one, then they will write what? This ramen never fails to disappoint me. Right? That's what one of them say. Ramen never fails to disappoint me. Hopefully that they don't write that. Right? You write that, you become a laughing stock, everything fails. But they can easily employ all these people, and obviously, some of these people, they may not even think that the ramen is nice. Perhaps they may have never even gone to that particular restaurant before. But they are there writing reviews. And then you look at this review, wow, so nice, so nice. And then you go there, hiya, fake news. Lousy. Not even worth to spend a single cent there. Right? Now, this is regards to reviews. It can be things of more serious import. Then you ask yourself, how to identify what is true, what is fake? Oh, then people will come. People want to put themselves as arbiters to tell you what is true, what is wrong. But can we trust all these people who want to claim to be arbiters of truth? Because so long as you have somebody who wants to act as arbiters of truth, you must make sure that the person who is acting as the arbiter of truth is 100% trustworthy. Do you know that if you have one singular arbiter of truth, what will happen is this? Right, let's say it is men. Remember during the time of the Roman Catholics, who was the one who is the arbiter of truth? The Roman Catholic Church, the Pope. He controls everything. He says, you cannot interpret the scriptures in any way you like except my interpretation. And his interpretation is what? The false interpretation. And he says, but this interpretation is true. As long as it is men, they can tell you how true, how faithful, you can never be 100% certain. But one thing we know is 100% faithful, 100% true. And that will be the words that are spoken by God. Because God is 100% true. God has no lie in Him. And so therefore, when the Bible here says, these things are faithful and true, it means that these things will really happen. Everything that you see here in the Bible is true news. You can trust it totally. There is no doubt about it. And yet, when it comes to the words of God, when God says, this will be the place that I have reserved for those who will believe in my word, we are still slow of heart to believe, isn't it? But when it comes to the fake news of this world, we are very quick. True? The things that are written in the newspapers, the things that are written in social media, we are very quick to believe. And sometimes we believe already after that, expose, you're fake. Right? And then, but then the word of God, true and faithful. Is it true? Is it true? We say it in our heart. Now, that is no good. Okay? Faithful and true words given to Christians in those days who are supposed to be people who will exercise their faith in God's word. And when you exercise faith in God's word, yes, Lord, I know in you there is no lie. Yeah, let every man be a liar, but God be true. When you have that kind of attitude, then when you read the book of Revelation with such a spirit, well, it will encourage your hearts. This will be the place where I will be in, and I want to be in, but Father in heaven, how long, how long? Right, that will be the key. And so look at verse 6. These sayings, faithful and true, and all along the message is consistent, because this person who is giving this message is who? The source of this message is the Lord God, right? Lord God. In other words, he is the one living and true God, and then he is here, the emphasis also is Lord. That means he is the covenant-keeping God. Lord God of who? Of the prophets, right? Prophets were the people of old who were used as spokesmen for God. Right? And so they will go about saying, these are the things that will happen, these are the things that will happen. They have talked about the first coming of Jesus Christ. They have talked about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And then when we examine the words of the prophets, especially with regards to the first coming, and all the prophets, do we not see that whatever that they say is faithful and true? And why are they faithful and true? Well, because the words that they spoke came from God himself, isn't it? No, not any prophets, but the holy prophets. Right. So you know, no lie, no wickedness, no falsehood in their message. And God has been sending prophets, messengers to give us his word all throughout history. And now, this same God is the one who sent his angel, another messenger, to tell us all these things, to reassure our hearts. He will now show unto his servants, the first century servants, and we ourselves, who are his servants, the things which must shortly, very fast, be done. Very fast, do not need to wait very long. Don't doubt it. Don't doubt it. Sometimes Christians look at the world and then they begin to think, oh Father, the book of Revelation is given in the first century AD and now there is already 2,000 years that has passed. Are you sure all these things will happen? It seems so long. So long. Maybe the Lord Jesus Christ isn't coming very soon. Now, that is not how God wants us to think. Remember, 1,000 years in the sight of God is like but a day. With respect to God, this is very, very short. Remember, right? After that, we have eternity to come. And when God says short, it is short. And what he means, therefore, is that with regards to our hearts, there must be this sense of urgency with respect to how we live the life here today. Not a heart of apathy, but a heart that is most fervent and zealous for his word. That the time that we have upon this earth is short, because very soon, Jesus Christ is coming again, and so whatever I can do for Christ Jesus down here on this earth, I must do. I must live my life for him. There cannot be any wastage of time. It must be for Christ. So Christ therefore says, behold, I truly will come quickly. Blessed, right? And we know that blessed is only applied to Christians. Blessed, happy is the person that keepeth. Right? And here the word keepeth refers to not only a person who will treasure and guard God's word, defend God's word, but also one who will obey God's word, live out God's word. Right? One who will live out God's word, live out the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Live according to it. He will have the right response, and he will therefore live his life in accordance to the truth. In accordance to this word, he will not let go of the Holy Scriptures. He will continue to hold forth the word of everlasting life. Is that how your life is? Well, this is what the book of Revelation is supposed to lead you to be, a person that is on fire for the truth, on fire for Christ in every day of your life. And so when John saw all these things, you know, this is the second time that he did it already, right? I saw and heard these things. The vision is so stupendous, he fell down again, and then he worshipped before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Well, this is a good angel, so therefore the angel said unto him, no, please do not do it. Right? For I am thy fellow servant. Right? I am thy fellow slave, just like you. I am a slave of God. And so therefore, like all creation, I must worship God. And if you therefore see the things in this book, if therefore you see all these visions and you think they are so stupendous, they are so amazing, please, all these things should lead you not to worship the messenger, not to worship anybody else in this world. The one person that you should worship is to worship God. That must be the only person that you must worship. The object of our worship, the center of all our worship must be God. Sometimes you have in this world, there are people who specialize in so-called teaching of prophecies. When you examine what they teach, sometimes it's already dubious because there is a lot of speculation that is not even consistent with the Word of God. And the way they teach it and the way they put it across is as though they want to draw people to follow them rather than to follow Christ, to get popularity. Now, that is not good. And so this is something that we must be very, very aware, right? That when it comes to the things that we do on this world, please never draw attention to self. Always point people to Christ, because at the end of it, right, every single book that is given to us, right, in the canon is meant to direct us to God, to worship Him, just like here in the book of Revelation. All these things that are given, John, they are not meant to lead you to worship me. I'm just a messenger. I am not worthy of your worship. The one that you should worship will be the one who will bring all these things to pass. And who is the person that will bring all these things to pass? The person that is later called the Alpha and Omega. In other words, he is the one who was there in the beginning of history. He will be the one who is there at the end of history. He is the one who will bring all these things to pass, and he is the one who will see all these things until the end, the Alpha and the Omega. That is the one that you should worship. You should worship Christ. You should worship God. Please don't worship me. What you should do now as an expression of your worship is this. With regards to the sayings of this book, seal it not. Seal it not, because the time is urgent. Very soon, the world will be judged and the world will come to an end. And when the world is judged and the world is come to an end, then it will be no turning back for man, no turning back for that person. That's why you have verse 11 given down here. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. The estate of the person will now be sealed. Right now, while we are still living upon this earth, the day of salvation, the time of salvation is still open. The previous days of your life, you may have lived it in rebellion to God. You may have not known Christ. You have acted as His enemy. Your sins were still not washed away. But right now, so long as He has the events that are stated in the book of Revelation, as long as the great white throne has not, that judgment has not come, there's still time for you to turn back. Still time for you to turn back. So long as your life here on earth has not ended, there's still time for you to turn back and find salvation in Christ. But once your life is on earth is over, and then you stand before the Lord at the great white throne judgment, that will be over if you are still an unbeliever. Of course, if you are a believer, then also everything will be confirmed because you will be there in the New Jerusalem. The time will come, and the time will come quickly. And so therefore, the time whereby we should make the Word of God known is now. It's now. So whatever is in this book of prophecy, you do not seal it anymore, because it is meant to be proclaimed. It's meant to be declared. And we must do so with much urgency, with much zeal. That is the whole point of Revelation chapter 22. You must now be actively holding forth the word of life. You must. That is not an option. Because after this, it's all over. And so, that is why, you know, when I heard of the news firstly from Shuai Yong, and then after that from Yahweh about what is happening in China, is something that saddens me very much. We know what has happened in China recently. It seems like things are going for them swimmingly very well in terms of they are looking forward, especially in terms of growth of the economy. But with regards to all these things, they are actually more important. They seem to be going backwards. Well, they have certainly learned from their old example whereby when the bamboo curtain was first put up, they really persecuted Christians, throw them in jail. Now they are very clever, they don't want to do that anymore. But now they attack things directly from the source. And so it is so sad to hear that, you know, firstly, on websites you can no longer buy a Bible. Surprisingly, you can buy a Quran, but not the Bible. The Quran is still freely available. Bible, no. Looks like, no, it's not looking very good. And then, so far, you still can buy Bibles from physical stores, but it seems like it's getting fewer. And most of these stores, they are all controlled by the Three Self Group. And just now, you have heard also how 18 years and below, they say you cannot spread religion, right, to them. And so, cannot spread religion means what? Of course, they cannot attend the worship service. Then there are very strong rumors that the Chinese Communist Party is going to come up with their own version of the Bible. Right now they are using CUV. But they are thinking of coming up with their own version of the Bible. Which of course fell foul of what we're going to learn later. Right? They were obviously involved adding and subtracting of God's word. And if that happens, well, the people will not get to hear the pure words of God. It's as though the sayings of the prophecy of this book has been sealed. Very sad, isn't it? And time is so short, and yet all these things are happening. Well, we must really labor in prayer for the people in China. Of course, not only in China, actually, there are still portions there are still sectors of the world that, you know, these things are happening. But what about us here in Singapore? Well, here in Singapore, there is, for the time being, no restriction on preaching the word of God. Or sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, then we must not be slack about this, isn't it? Must use every opportunity to do so. And so therefore, it is most pleasing that, you know, that we can have opportunity firstly to share to the children. So we have the VBS, we have the children's camp, we have gospel meetings, we have gospel Sundays, but I think most importantly, I think quite a number of you try your best to share the good news of Jesus Christ to your loved ones, to your friends, and to your colleagues. Yes, that is what we need to do. And we cannot hold back in doing it because the time is short, right, for us here on this earth. We are not to seal, right, the sayings of this book of prophecy. We are to proclaim it. Because soon Jesus Christ will return. And when Jesus Christ will return, yes, He will judge. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Right, so firstly, of course, unbelievers will be judged, and you will realize unbelievers will be judged according to their works. Right, this is what is written in Revelation chapter 20. Then with regards to believers, well, we will also be judged, and we will also be judged according to our works. Whether it will be wood, hay, or stubble, or whether it will be silver, gold, or precious stones. And so what verse 12 is trying to tell is that, well, soon we must give an account before God how we live our life here on this earth. And that time of giving account will be very soon. Yes, it will also be very soon. It's just like, you know, sometimes in a company, you know that there are times where you have to give, and there will be certain meetings where you have to give an account of certain projects or things that are happening, right? For example, audit is coming. There are some here who are auditors. Well, the auditors is coming. Well, everybody will know. Oh, auditor is coming on this day. Well, better make sure all things are in order. They'll be very urgent to check everything and then to make sure all things are in order. If not in order, better make it good. And then after that, they will give an account to the auditor. Or sometimes the boss may say, I have this particular project that is ongoing. And then after that, you receive an email, ding, in 2 weeks' time, please come and give a report. Oh, I must give a report. Then I better make sure everything is well. Give a good account. Now the Lord says, well, I will also want you to give an account. How will you react? Oh, worldly right, the projects of the world, wow. We are very responsible. We do it very well. But then when it comes to the things of God, slowly, never mind. And then we react as though the time to account is very far. No, it's not very far, it's very near. The Lord says soon. So better be very careful with how we live our life here on this earth. Every single word will be judged, whether we do it with the right motive, whether we do it constrained by the love of Christ, and we will give this account before the one who is called the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and the first and the last. So work hard, labor hard for the Lord. Make sure that that in the end, when we stand before Him, we will be approved of Him. That is the key. And once again, right? Look at how patient and comforting the Lord is. Once again, the Lord says, blessed are they that do His commandments, obey, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Right? So, you want to eat of the tree of life, that means you want to have everlasting life. Yes, come to God. And those who come to God, they will want to keep His word. For those who do not keep His word, well, there will be those that will be outside of the city, right? So, we have gone through some of these expressions before. Dogs, here dogs of course refer to the unclean dogs, right? Unclean dogs. Right? So generally anybody who is morally unclean, right? Sorcerers, those who practice magic, witchcraft, necromancy, right? Will be classified under this term sorcerers. Whoremongers, all those who are involved in sinful lusts, right? And they refuse to repent, right? So sorcerers refuse to repent. Whoremongers refuse to repent. Murderers, right, those who kill one another, not just physically, but sometimes also with words. And they refuse to repent. Well, they will be under this group. Idolaters, anybody who love false gods, they will also be here. And whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Now, we saw before that if you turn with me to Revelation 21 verse 8. What is written down there in Revelation 21 verse 8 is just the word liars. Right? Do you see that? Now down here in Revelation chapter 22 verse 15, it is a little bit more descriptive. Whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So in other words, not only are they actively making a lie, but the Lord is pointing out that their disposition is that they actually love deception. So don't be such a person. If you have such a heart, it is very, very dangerous. You are probably not even born again. Right? Because who is the one that loveth a lie? Right? Satan, right? Loveth a lie. Satan loveth deception. And what this means also is this, right? One application we can have in our life now also is this. Are you the type of person who also love not only just to make a lie, but love to hear lies? Because it's not just love of not just making a lie down here. No, it is love of a lie. So not only do you love to make lies, but you also love to hear lies. That means you really love anything that has to do with lies, whether be making or whether be hearing. That also is very, very dangerous. We talk about fake news one more time, right? Fake news. Now, are you a person that like to hear fake news? I hope not. Of course, in this world, it's very hard to decide what is fake and what is true. That's why the only thing that you can go to the Bible. You will be very, very certain. Nothing in the Bible is false. But some people, even though when something is false, they know it is false, they also like to hear. So are you the type that like to hear rumor and gossip? Hey, you better be very, very careful, no? Because some of the rumor and gossip, once you hear, you know it's false, but you just like to hear it. Wow, this thing happened. This thing happened. You know it's false. But never mind, false, I also want to hear. I like to hear a man being slandered. I like to hear a man being blasphemed. That is also no good. Please, a Christian must never have this kind of heart. You should learn to hate all kinds of falsehood and just simply tell the person, look, I am not interested in this falsehood that you are trying to spread to me. Now, of course, sometimes a person may also like to talk about the sins of people. This is also something we have to be very, very careful about. Sometimes all these things may be true, but it's not the sins of the person, but people just like to spread it because they just want to bring down that particular person, not to help. Of course, you know, let's say in church, sometimes in order to help a brother, let's say, for example, there may be something that happened. If you talk about, for example, even in the section of the church, like sometimes there may be certain things, certain serious sins that are happening. In order to address the serious sins in the congregation, you would expect the section of the church, they need to gather, they need to talk about these issues that happen, who exactly is involved in all these sins, and then they need to pray over matters, how best to help that particular person. Now, we're not talking about discussing about sin in this way and then hearing about all these things. No. But we are talking about hearing all these things simply because we like to hear them. And we like the person to be destroyed. Now, that is no good. Okay? What more, especially if all these things are false, and then you know that it's false, and then you still like to hear it because it's just so nice to listen to a lie. Now, that is very, very, very horrible. Then you'll be classified under here also. Whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. It is even more descriptive than the word liar. Because a person who is a liar is a person who makes lies. A person who loveth and maketh a lie, his entire disposition is to embrace falsehood. So whether it is himself who makes a lie and he loveth it, or whether it is others who make a lie and he loves to support them and he loves to hear all these things, that is very bad. Okay, so make sure you are not a person that loves to hear all these things. Make sure you are also a person who does not love to support all these people who are clearly lying. It's not good to support liars. Don't be on their side. Always make sure you're on the side of God. If you're on the side of God and God is a person who always tells the truth, then why then are you siding people who are perpetual liars? You don't be on their side. You always be on the side which tells the truth. Okay? That is important because all those who are like this in their disposition and they refuse to repent, they are without Christ, they will be outside of the kingdom of God. Right? And this is said the second time. Right? God says once, you hear. When God says twice, you hear, and you hear very carefully, you better keep it in your heart. And make sure you are not in this category of verse 15, but you are in the category of verse 14. Then you will be in that place. Jesus now comes and says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel, my messenger, to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. Very, very interesting description. He is first called the root and yet also the offspring. Right? Normally, if you call yourself the offspring of somebody, that somebody in whom if you are called the offspring, like let's say like offspring of David, then who is supposed to be the root? The root is supposed to be David, right? Correct? Offspring of David. And yet here, Christ says, I am both the root as well as the offspring of David. Very, very interesting. Right? Why? Because Christ in the first place is the God of David, isn't it? Christ in the first place is the God of David. Yet at the same time, it is true that he is born of the lineage of David. That's why both the root as well as the offspring of David. And by purposely putting the word David down here, he's trying to say that he is the very fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. The Davidic covenant was made by him, was made by God, and God himself fulfilled that Davidic covenant. And Christ himself here is called the bright and morning star. He has the source of light for the entire world, the light that will never, never dim out. Here, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Bride will be who? In the context down here, the New Jerusalem, and of course, all the saints that will inhabit down here, the Spirit and the bride. The Spirit, the bride, New Jerusalem says, come. Why wouldn't you want to come and be part of this holy city? Come. Don't let your affections be upon this world. Don't let your affections be upon the cities of sin that you see in the world today. Yes, because of testimony's sake, because God has called you to be a holy witness, so therefore you dwell in this city. But the city that you should look forward to live in, should be the city that is to come, that New Jerusalem. Why won't you come? Come now. Now is the time of salvation. Not yet the time whereby we have in verse 11, right? He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. Now is still the acceptable time of salvation. Why won't you come? Why won't you come and drink of the water of everlasting life? Come. Come. And with respect to all of us here who profess to be Christians, with regards to this book of the prophecy, this book of prophecy, and in extension to all the other books of prophecy, all the other books of the Bible, what should your attitude be? Verse 18 and 19, a warning. Never, never change any part of God's word. I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And you have read and studied the plagues that are down here. Right? It's no plaything. Right? Very serious. Very devastating. You don't want all these plagues to be added unto you. Similarly, if you take away any words, right? Because man has a very twisted mind. So when you tell him, cannot add, what do you think man will do? Take away, right? So God very wisely added this. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Because once you change the message, everything, right, the entire foundation is now gone. Right? That is exactly what we have heard in the message just now, isn't it? The message totally changed. And you get people to believe in a different message, there will be no salvation. That is why the warning down here is very, very, very serious. And so sometimes in the world of Christianity, people just simply want to change God's word like this, God's word like that. Oh, well, that is really very horrible. But on our part also, we better make sure that we are also faithful messengers of God's word. That we just simply preach, just simply obey, just simply follow whatever is found in the Holy Scriptures. Don't add to it our own ideas. Don't change it whatever way we like. But simply to cling unto it and submit to it. These will be the people, right, that will enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I pray that this will also be the kind of spirit that is in your heart. One that loveth God's word as it is. God says it, that settles it. I simply believe it. No change. No change. For the warning here is very grave. You know, and especially for those of us who are caught into the preaching ministry, you know, and especially if you are also in the Sunday school teacher ministry, is words like this also should cause us to be very, very careful of what we teach, that we better make sure when we teach it's not just our own opinions, you know, but it's really, really, really God's word. God's word as it is. Don't change it. Because it is the pure word of God that saves. We should not adulterate it. For soon what? Jesus Christ will come. And Jesus Christ will judge. And this is true. Therefore you have verse 20. He which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Right? The word amen means of a truth. Right? Very, verily, right? This is a truthful saying. This is a faithful saying. A Christian response must be only one type of response. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. This is John's response. This must also be a response. Yes, please come quickly. Please set all these things that are mentioned in the book of Revelation in motion. And we know it's already in motion. And we trust in thee. Yes, quickly, quickly, quickly come. Then don't need to worry about a lot of things in this world. This world is so full of worries and cares. Quickly come and all will be over. An eternity of joy, eternity of peace. But Lord, we know that we have to live in this world. So till you come, Lord, what is most needed for the saints in this world is what? The grace, right? The unmerited favor of God, the strengthening of Him and the wisdom that comes from Him to lead and direct and to help us live in this world in a manner that is pleasing unto Him. And so therefore, in verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. This book, this word of God may be applied to your hearts and strengthen you and help you to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. This is the message for the first century Christians. This is also the message for us today. So are you a person that is feeling very discouraged in life? Well, we hope that the book of Revelation will encourage your hearts. And though we have ended our series of Revelation, this does not mean that we should stop reading this book, right? Remember, blessed are those, we should keep the saying of this book. So we keep reading and reading, keep studying it. Most importantly, we study not just academically, but apply the word of God into our hearts, right? Devotionally. Then the Lord will bless us richly in our life. So may the Lord help us. Let us pray. I'll ask Preacher James to close us in prayer.